You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Before we dive in, folks, we want to have a quick disclaimer. This conversation has some strong language, none of which has been edited, so do be aware.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. And we have an episode that I have been looking forward to, I think we all have, for quite some time. You have heard about Havana Syndrome. In fact, we did an episode on this very concept not too long ago, but time has flown during these our days of pandemic. So we wanted to go on air with a conversation that has been continuing for a weird amount of time, and you have asked us for it, Conspiracy Realist, and we wanted to deliver. We are not diving into the concept of the Havana Syndrome alone today. We are joined by the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jack O'Brien, live and direct.
Hit me. Hi, guys. How are you? Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here. This is one of my pet subjects. This is one of the things that Miles would play the Curb Your Enthusiasm music when I started talking about it, because he's just like, here we go again.
The stare down music? Yeah, I think that's the one.
First off, as we're recording, it is Mr. Miles of Gray's birthday, so happy New Year to you, Miles. Yeah, and this conversation's a long time in coming, because Jack, you and Matt, Noel, and I have been in a weird situation with Havana Syndrome. We are the guys who keep bringing it up to the point of like exhausting
the attention of our friends and our loved ones. And we're probably doing that actually move to them where they say something and we go, actually.
I've given up, by the way. I'm just like, I've come on here to do my last talking about Havana Syndrome. So this is it. I promise. My wife, she made me promise in couples therapy. So yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're gonna help you keep that promise, man. But before we get into Havana Syndrome, let's talk a little bit about your background for anyone who somehow isn't aware. You are the creator of cracked.com. You have also been for quite a while now one of the few people more busy than us in the world of podcasting with a little thing called the Daily Zeitgeist. What's the Daily Zeitgeist?
Yeah, so it's a twice daily podcast. I don't know why we did that.
It's not even in the name. You should call it the twice daily podcast.
we do an hour long episode that drops in the morning and is more like outlined and thoughts composed. And then we just check in the afternoon and tell you what's trending. But yeah, it's been Miles Gray and I and a guest along with super producer Anna Hosnier and just kind of combing through what is happening in the zeitgeist. And it's fun. It's I think we started it during the Trump administration thinking like, well, this will last as long as the Trump administration lasts. And like, we feel like we have so much to say that our heads are going to burst. And then it's actually gotten more fun to do, like a lot of parts of life, outside of that administration. And it's freed me to talk and think about things like Havana Syndrome.
Well, before we even get into that, just regarding covering national events and the news and the zeitgeist, have you guys been covering the rail strike that's like about to either kick off or be okay?
Yeah, we actually were covering that on today's episode, and we kind of got head faked by the mainstream media being like, it's over. We got a deal and the unions are happy. And then the unions being like, we haven't agreed to anything just yet. But yeah, we have been talking about that and kind of the rise in labor in the U.S. And it's been cool.
You got to love pre-written press releases like that, where they actually don't wait for the real news to drop. It's fine. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
We're just going to do it onion style. They'll read the headline. Let's spend the time writing that.
Well, the headline is that President Joe Biden, secured a tentative deal. That was the headline.
Yes. Like, right.
Right. Okay.
And the demands, the request. I don't even like calling them demands. The request of the rail workers are super not crazy. They're things like, can I have a little vacation if my mom is sick? And then,
can I go to the doctor?
Can I go to the doctor
without getting like, in trouble with work, essentially?
We actually just did an episode on the Luddites, the history of the Luddites for Ridiculous History. And back in the early days of textiles, there were these individuals with a job called croppers. And their job was to like kind of smooth out the pieces of fabric. And they were these high demand, very specialized workers who were able to demand all of this, like paid vacation, and like they had Mondays off just to get drunk, and all of this stuff that they were able to command because of the fact that they were very good at their jobs and they had this like legacy kind of knowledge around this. And then the Industrial Revolution comes along and everything scales, and it's no longer about quality, it's about quantity. And it's just interesting trajectory and seeing where we are now with all this labor movement stuff.
How
it's
scaling is always come good. To a head. Always great.
Oh, yeah.
News.
I mean, it's good for somebody.
That's right.
People that need to feed their
family. What if you could do this one thing that's special to you, but do it like 100 times? Also, we want to pay you less and you can't take days off. So this is this is a brief snapshot of some of the things that are discussed on Daily Zeitgeist. They are also fresh baked, which I hate using the term, but it is true. And what this means to me is that when the concept of Havana syndrome first hit the national consciousness. All right, I'll say it. When it first hit the zeitgeist,
I shout that anytime someone uses that word. It's very annoying to be around. Yeah.
So let's start here, Jack. As far as we can tell, the name is kind of bullshit, but the first public reports of what would later be called Havana syndrome kind of came around 2017. That's when the public started finding out. When did you find out, and what did you hear initially?
Well, my inside report, my inside contacts at the CIA had actually tuned me into this a little early. I found out the same time as everyone else with the news reports, and it's there are these stories that pop up where I'm like, well, this should be the only thing we talk about ever again, because they're saying that somebody has weaponry that known science can't explain, and they're attacking the U.S. in like these really strange ways. And it just seemed very fascinating to me, but I also did kind of immediately that there were some flags that kind of initially popped up, specifically, yeah, the scientists being like, there's nothing we know of that could do the thing that they're talking about.
Which doesn't necessarily mean that it's completely false, right? Doesn't necessarily right. mean sure. that, because we talk about this on the show, weapons testing all the time, and advanced weaponry, DARPA, ARPA, all those things. And, you know, how the public is only going to know what an iPhone, the equivalent of what an iPhone 8 is, or 7 or whatever, you know? Does sure. that make sense?
But, totally. Like, scientists, you know, whether they're involved with the government or not, science is science. And if they can't point to a thing that's an analog for this, chances are it might be a little far-fetched or a little overblown. You think right. some scientists with knowledge of this area would come out and be like, well, it could be done if you did this, or, you know, added a little, you know, widget right. or something, then maybe I could see that happening.
The vague scientific reports being like, well, you know, their voices would get high pitched as I read them in the news. Like, well, you know, if you like, but then there would be the other scientists who were like, not only does nothing like this exist, but theoretically, like, sound doesn't do that. And microwave, like, if you were going to create a microwave weapon like this, it would be so loud and so huge that you wouldn't be able to
so
just
much
like
energy.
Yeah, it requires so much energy, like all the lights in Havana would dim at the same time. Like it seemed,
and
like
the symptoms wouldn't even be the same, I don't think, right? Isn't that right. part of it too? The symptoms don't really align with the microwave infiltration.
And the symptoms aren't the same from person to person in a lot of the cases. So that was another thing. And you know, at Cracked, we did a lot of nonfiction, and then just reading the news every day for, like, since we started the Daily Zeitgeist back in 2017, I believe. A thing that I've kind of always thought was an underrated mover was the ability for the unconscious mind to physically affect people, both their health and, you know, it's just a very, very powerful thing. So I think the thing that helped me get my mind around it was just thinking of it not as anybody is making it up, you know, nobody's making it up. These are people to whom this is happening. They're not doing this. They're not intentionally creating a lie to get out of work. It's not weaponry. It was kind of where I landed on it.
Yeah, you're thinking, I think we're on the same page there. It's not a conspiracy, because there aren't people trying to con people, right? They're
sure.
They're not bad actors. These people are encountering things. And Jack, maybe this is where we introduce sort of our word of the day, the way that it, even the definition of what you're talking about the, how the New York Times put it, the intersection between, between the brain and the mind. It was called, we don't say hysteria now. There's a different word, the P word.
Yeah. psychogenic.
Oh,
Pisteria. Okay. I was going to say it's a funspiracy, not a conspiracy, a funspiracy. Yeah, psychogenic is sort of the term that most sides use. I think the people, so the place that I was reading everything that I could get my eyes on about Havana syndrome, and the first article that fully, I was like, okay, this all kind of coheres. Like, and I had read, you know, The New Yorker was reporting on this. I love to read a New Yorker article and then like tell people I read a New Yorker article. And
so they know, they, like, quote, so you can high road them.
Yeah, exactly. But like even the New Yorker articles weren't really cohering, like in terms of like the, just the kind of total truth of what was being talked about. And this New York Times Magazine article that was in the health issue was the first thing that kind of made it make sense to me. And they focused on it, like the person who wrote the article is not somebody who like reports on, you know, diplomacy or weapons. They focus, they're in the process of writing a book on something called functional disorders, which is sort of this newer understanding of psychogenic, like what used to be called mass hysteria, or just, you know, hysteria in the cases of like individuals suffering from things that were caused by the mind. But for a long time, starting in the 20th century, people thought it was, I think Freud called it, I forget what his term for it was, but it was always the idea that like some problem in their psyche was then causing this to physically manifest. And the, so
conversion,
this new
disorder,
conversion. Yeah. You convert like some, you know, desire to, fight your dad and, you know, have sex with your mom into like this thing, you know, it like, and so this new understanding is that it's a neurological thing. So it's not a thing that necessarily you can untangle to something that happened to you as a child, or, you know, something that you're even psychologically aware of. It's really like they don't have an explanation. It's more about something that is unconscious to you that is causing this to happen to you that you are not aware of, but it's not you causing it, really. It is something in your neurological makeup that is causing it. That's like sort of getting locked into how your synapses like fire and work together and the like pathways in your mind. It almost reminds me of like addiction.
It wouldn't like show up on a brain scan though either, right? It wouldn't show up as some sort of like, you know, anomalous thing in a MRI or a, you know, a CT scan.
Well, that's the sticky thing.
Yeah, I feel like reading about brain scans on in the context of Havana syndrome, I went down a road of people sort of debunking brain scans as a very useful tool and just saying like you can look at brain scans and like see a lot of different things depending on the eye of the beholder and kind of what you want to see, because that was like a lot of the pro, this was an attack, articles were focusing on this, these studies done by, done at, I think, UPenn like hospitals that basically said like their brain scans indicate something happened. And, it was just, it seemed a little foggy. But yeah, I mean, brain scans show things that can be helpful as diagnostic tools. So I'm not completely discounting them. It just seems like it was a little bit kind of more up in the air than some of the neurological stuff.
It's like pornography. I know it when I see it, says a scientist who may have an axe to grind, because scientists are people too. But I like the point about reading perhaps some electric tea leaves there, right? In the signals.
Well, guys, what we're talking about for me, if I was just an objective listener encountering this for the first time, I would think, okay, well, that kind of makes sense on an individual level, but how do we explain that occurring, you know, so many times to so many individuals in countries across the world?
Right. That's a good question, Matt, but we also have to consider then that these are not separate entities. They are people who are in the same field in the same sphere of communication. And one thing that's important is the ability to put a name or a category upon any series of things. Like we were talking about this, I can't remember whether it was off air or on a previous episode of some sort of show. There's this very valid argument that, say, someone wakes up and they just don't feel great. They have some sort of malaise, right? Some sort of ill-defined malaise. And they are having a moment, a water cooler moment, if you will, with someone else, a colleague, a trusted colleague. That's important. That's key. Who says to them, you know, I'm feeling a little low too. You know, and this is pre-COVID, when anytime someone got a sniffle, they were like, it's COVID. I'm gonna die. But as weird as it sounds, it is very common for people to, you want to be part of something bigger than yourself. You also, if you're a human, you want to classify patterns, right? That's the reason why humans are the most successful of the primates currently. It's the idea, you know, like Matt goes to Jack and says, man, I'm sorry, I got a real pill of a headache. And Jack says, you know what? I had a headache earlier. And are these connected? Because that's what people do. We all sort of connect these dots for better or worse.
Confirmation bias. If we have someone that confirms what we already kind of believe, it's like a WebMD syndrome. Is like, you know, you go from having like a little body ache to definitely I'm dying of cancer. It's like, you WebMD, know, anything.
It's
it doesn't even have to be an expert. It can just be, like you said, Ben, a trusted colleague. And you're saying, whoa, I feel exactly the same way. We were both in the same space at the same time. It must be, you know, something in our building, you know, at work.
We're going to take a quick break, but then we'll be back with more Jack.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's two kinds of people in the world: people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine. or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
And we're back with Jack O'Brien talking about the Havana Syndrome.
There's a article, a personal history, like a short story written by John Le Carre or John Le Carre, I forget. I don't know. Le Carre? Is that how we pronounce his name? The like spy
novelist?
You know what?
We did both. We're covered.
Oh. Okay. And so he was a former spy during World War II. And by the way, this did appear in The New Yorker, which I read. I don't know if I mentioned that. But and it's... So he was a spy novelist, and he taught, this was his honest account of what it was like to be a spy during the Cold War years. And it is, it's really illuminating. Like, he's being sent on these missions by people who, it turns out, are like kind of creating all the intrigue to kind of build up this story. Like, there's a big, like, what he, his first mission, he goes to this like little back alley, like pool hall, and there's a briefcase drop, and it's all very cloak and dagger. And then he's like, and it turned out like there was nothing in that briefcase. That guy was just doing this because he wanted to live in the movie. And, you know, that there was like, everybody was paranoid. Everybody thought everyone else was a spy, but there also was like, no, they're there. And so that was another thing that I kept popping up in my mind as I was reading about this. And, you know, there was a good piece in ProPublica early on in the Havana Syndrome reporting where they just kind of tracked how the news was first told to, like, a few people had an experience where they heard a high-pitched noise and, like, started feeling dizzy. And then that was reported at, like, a staff meeting, but it was reported as, like, this is secret, don't tell anyone. And it, I can totally see how it would have created a feeling of not being safe and putting myself in that position and knowing how susceptible I am to suggestion and, you know, body over mind, mind over body stuff. I totally can sympathize with like that. That really helped me get my mind around, like, this is not something that they are making up. This is something that is happening to them because of a unique combination of us as Westerners not understanding sort of the mind-body relationship and how powerful the mind is in terms of illness, and then also how powerfully weird it is to be in the CIA or be a diplomat and stationed in another, you know, in a place, and, you know, rumors are come up about, like, well, they're attacking us, or, you know, this person had this weird experience, like, don't tell anybody. It just, it felt like it was kind of ripe for the sort of mass hysteria that you sometimes see.
Yeah. It's also, it's leveraging the us versus them, right? The in mm-hmm. versus the out mentality. And then, you know, social pressure can be a real thing, and it's not always purposeful, nor is it always malevolent. It's sometimes just fitting in. Ooh, I guess my head does hurt. And to me, man, that was one of the main questionable indicators. The cases are all, at this point, self-reported. When we did the initial show on it, there were an estimated 200 reported cases around the world, all of similar demographics, all people who are working closely together or live in this rarefied air you describe. And as of now, I checked this going in. That's right. I did a little homework. The tally is 1,100 people. Again, all self-reported. There was no one, like, this is not the same situation as prostate cancer or something where a doctor says, this is what you have. These are people coming forward and saying, I think I have this thing, right? And this is, again, one point that you did so beautifully and that I have immense respect for, is you're never dunking on these people. You're very clear in everything you've said on air about this and to me off air that you, like, just because it might not be some magical microwave weapon does not mean these people are not experiencing real pain.
Where did the weapon theory come from initially? Like, it seems like such a leap. So it had to have come from somewhere.
Yeah, you can let Jack talk about it. But there was some weird stuff happening in the past, and we kept seeing reports from former spies or former agents who were talking about other microwave technologies that the USSR had used in the past. Correct?
Yeah, I think there's some of that. You guys know more about that than I do, but yeah, I know that there was. First it was sound weapons because the people heard a strange sound, and when they had the physical attack symptoms, and then once people kind of disproved that was possible, they moved on to microwaves, and I think that's when they started looking through history to see there was an example of Russia, who I think people immediately liked for this because both sides wanted. So I think my overall feeling on like where it comes from is like in paying attention to the news, like we overall, the mainstream media in the US has a pro making money bias. And an underrated thing that makes money, and it's not making money for the most people. It's just making money, There, and so if there's one person who lives in the suburbs of Virginia stands to make $1 billion, they're going to find a way to, get that story seeded and make that $1 billion. And an underrated way that people make money is through the military industrial complex. And so, like creating a super weapon that is generations ahead of what we have access to. That's how we funded the 20th century in the United States by being like, Russia has way more nuclear weapons than we do. So we need to keep ramping up, revving up. And it wasn't true, but it was good for business in the military industrial complex.
We have a defense gap.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And the USSR also had psychic soldiers, right? And we had to dip our toes in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yep. And thank you for your service, goats. That was that was solid. You're real heroes. This is 100% true. This is one of the largest, most consistently profitable industries in the West in general, but in the United States in specific. And you can, like, that's not a conspiracy theory. That is objective. That is proven. You could call it a conspiracy, but you can't call it a theory. We see this, we see this add high octane fire to the existing blaze, right? When folks like Christopher Miller, former Secretary of Defense in the Trump administration, immediately hears about this directed energy thing and says, hey, not only is that, like, he gets all made for TV commercial with it. Basically, he's saying, not only is it an energy weapon, but it's an act of war, and we're left behind on this. If
it's useful
don't,
in that way.
Yeah, yeah. If we don't beam the headaches in, someone's going to beam them at us. You know what I mean? Also,
right.
Also, we need more money. Almost every government statement ends with, also, we need more money. This is fascinating because the politicians at play who were championing a lot of this stuff and were indeed holding the purse of funding, they were not so worried about the psychogenic aspects, right? They were not so worried about this. And they were likewise not particularly concerned with even theoretically proving the application of what they called a directed energy weapon, which is such a bullshit phrase, right? Directed energy weapon. There's just three words that sound great together.
What?
You know?
That's completely logical to me. I'm going to direct this energy beam. It's a Kamehameha style attack. Come on. That's real.
Uh-huh.
I think if you see that it acronyms out to do, you understand that this is a Mountain Dew based op. This is all part of some viral marketing.
Yeah.
Thanks. We got him.
That is my other
obsession,
folks. Is Mountain Dew.
It's the Caribbean blast.
Also, a lot of people don't know that Camila Cabello song Havana is about Havana Syndrome. It's all super like subtly masked, but Havana Nu Na Na.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Like,
that's, go look that's at the coded. Lyrics, guys. I mean, we shouldn't have to tell you guys this. Come on.
Yeah. Go to genius.com. You know what I mean? Don't take our word for it. See for yourself. But yeah,
the unana is them experiencing. That's like when they're like, Havana. Oh, that hurts.
Ooh, No.
And the whole thing is really a series of acronyms. So so take your time, write the acronyms out, and send them to us. And do the whole song. You know what I mean? Don't be a coward. So the thing that I think stays with us is, like most people, we were delving into this story. And I think all of us were very careful not to draw our own conclusions. We're comparing information sources. We're looking at statements, again, by multiple scientists who, in the early days, right, in 2017, they didn't all agree. And because it was science reporting, they were misquoted often. Or, you know, there was a little hyperbole with their stuff. But one thing that is clear to me is that the story had continued. There was something that happened just in this past August, as we record on August 24th, 2022, the New York Times reported the CIA, everybody's favorite company, had started compensating, again, self-reported victims of Havana Syndrome. And what's interesting about that is at the same time, almost, quite recently, this month as we record, September 2022, more and more other members of government are publicly going skeptical because they're saying, all right, hang on. These symptoms are ill-defined, pardon the pun, but there's not a specific thing we can find, which means there's not a specific thing we can test for, right? So are we not correct to be skeptical? And unfortunately, Uncle Sam kind of made an unpleasant bed generations before by
the idea of an unpleasant bed. I'm sorry.
Yeah. but generations before, you know, it's almost like how anti-vaccination movements arise out of human experimentation, like the horrors of Tuskegee. What's happening is, I would posit that there are people who remember well the dangers of what was called Agent Orange, or the dangers of long-term lead poisoning. And they're saying, well, it wouldn't be the first time people lied to us.
No, I have a question, though. Does the payout, does that create the sense of culpability? Or like, if they're paying out, then I think that maybe like caused the perspective of the media to be like, oh, well, they're paying people out, so they must have done something wrong.
Like workers' comp, right?
Right. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but different, right? Like, I mean, no, maybe it is exactly that. But I wonder what your perspective is on that, Jack.
I do think, you know, at the same time that they are paying out, there has been, I think things in opinions in the media are shaking out in the direction of it being psychogenic, which I think the main thing now is that, like, so in this article about functional disorders, they talk about one of the kind of the smoking gun that really convinced me was that the people who had these attacks years ago were still experiencing symptoms. And in a lot of cases, the symptoms were getting worse still. And that is actually a telltale sign of a functional disorder and something that is psychogenic, because they were saying, even had somebody walked up and like hit them on the head with something, or, you know, whatever physical attack you want to talk about, the body heals those in and it gets progressively better, and they would have been healed within like 6 months. Whereas with psychogenic and these functional disorders that are sort of locked into the circuitry of the brain, that gets worse until you actually identify it as such and go and like treat it as such. And so my concern is that for the people who are still suffering from this, first of all, I'm like of all the money that the U.S. government is paying out, like, fine. But
well, it's a drop in the bucket at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket. But I mean, and they are going through hell.
Now, when you say psychogenic, is that the same as PTSD or is that different? Like, I mean, I'm a little unclear. Yeah.
Well, I think people, I actually haven't looked into PTSD enough to even like kind of comment on it. I'm just saying more that it is something that started in the, it is like locked into the neurology more so than it is a physical wound that you're kind of healing from. But the like, you can cure these sorts of functional disorders if you address them as such. But the more that this becomes a, you know, they say this and we're saying they're fake, which it seems to be like the direction that a lot of the media coverage takes, the less likely the people are going to be willing to admit to that. So just like this truth that's in between, that's like, this is something that is happening to you. No, it was not the Cuban government and it wasn't a Russian secret weapon that caused it, but it is something that's happening to you. Like that would be the best outcome for everybody involved. But it feels like we've now, you know, put it into this, like, well, then you were lying type thing. And I understand that being the response because they were used to try to, like, you know, fund World War III or whatever would have happened if the people who claimed it was an attack got their way. But
hey, but then that started anyway.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I think just generally the thing that I've taken from this beyond, you know, a better understanding of how full of shit the U.S. government is and is like just a greater appreciation for everybody's vulnerability to this sort of psychogenic and functional disorders. And, you know, if you've taken NyQuil, like, so I always assumed NyQuil was bluish green because like that's a relaxing color and DayQuil was, you know, a more vigorous orange because that's like a color and like that was just like good marketing. But they've actually done studies and when I take a NyQuil, like I actually sleep better physically. My body reacts to that power of suggestion, that color in a way that is like physical and scientific, like that is what their studies have found. So it's just like the
so it's an added bit of placebo effect, like to the actual medicine.
I think the placebo effect is so much more powerful. So the placebo effect's another.
That's why blue Gatorade is more refreshing.
Yeah.
Blue Powerade is colder.
Yeah. All relaxing pills are blue and all like vigorous pills are red or orange or pink.
Yellow or orange.
And
yeah.
For sure. And this beer is both.
There you go.
Whoa,
and that's why
make of that?
That's why it's a morning or evening beer. Elixir.
Did you say that's why it's a morning beer?
I said that's why it's a morning or an evening beer.
Oh god.
So no, it's a huge point. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just the like it's also the power of the mind when it comes to medicine is also not something you can monetize, right? So that's, again, like falls into what I was talking about before with like the big bias in American media and the big bias in like how the US just works in general is like if you can make money off of it, then that is going to be the truth we go with. And like you can't put the, you know, meditation in a pill necessarily.
Yeah.
Right.
Holistic medicine and meditation and mindfulness are not money makers. They might sell books
apps.
If you're a niche kind of,
they'll sell,
you know,
the hell out of
yeah,
an app.
Apps. Right. No, for sure. But that's its own thing. But if you're big pharma, you have no way of commodifying that. There's nothing, you can't inject that into a pill because it is something that is sub medical. It is something that requires discipline and reading and thoughtfulness.
Hold the phone. I mean, if you're listening to this on a phone, you might already be holding the phone. What I mean is we're going to pause for a second and then we're going to return to dive further into the conversation about Havana Syndrome with Jack O'Brien.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back.
I want to get back. Just Ben, you mentioned 1,100 people, around 1,100 people who have reported this, correct? So just,
and were they all water cooler conversations? Like, how are all of them communicating with each other?
They are all self-reported,
and it becomes a news story. So they hear about it.
How do they know? Okay, so yeah, got it.
Yeah, it becomes a massive news story. A news story about your profession and about people in your specific environment who are in other countries that you perceive or that your higher ups perceive to be hostile territory. And suddenly it, because there is a lot of the functional disorders that they talk about come with some sort of like fear based, like something that is destabilizing or something like that, is not always, but a lot of the time that can be where the sort of injury occurs.
So, I just want to list them out.
Yeah, so this is a great question, Matt. This also gives us an opportunity to talk about how the media did Cuba dirty, just like the Spanish flu, which we mentioned in a previous episode.
Or the Kung Flu, you know, the way, like, yeah, all of that crap.
Yeah, so it's Havana Syndrome is called Havana Syndrome popularly in the West because those were where the first, again, self-reported cases came from, which means that the government of Cuba was judged in the court of public opinion to be guilty based on the name. And what I love about adding a place name to a thing is that it already makes it sound shady. You know what I mean? Like pick a verb. You could say, you know, you could say mouse click, and then you add Florida to the front. Gave it the old Florida mouse click. You know what I mean? That sounds weird. That sounds right? I know.
Creepy.
And this happens with anything. You could call it the, you know, like Tulsa Elbow, and people would be like, "Ew, gross, no."
That sounds like a cool dance,
wear
actually.
Wear long sleeves.
Yeah. It sounds like a cool elbow. Dance from like the from Prohibition era, I feel like. He was doing the Tulsa Elbow down like at
the inverted
speakeasy. Yeah.
Yes. So with this, what we see is that this reporting, right, or people saying that they have experienced this, I love the point about it coming out in hostile countries. There are reports in China, right? There are reports in, of course, Cuba, who vehemently denied any sort of association. There were some reports in Russia pre the newest iteration of the war against Ukraine, which I think went a long way toward dismissing the idea of secret Russian technology, to be honest. And Matt, to your point, there are no reports of someone in Poughkeepsie or someone in, you know, a more friendly country. I think there were some reports on Mexico.
Australia.
Mexico.
Australia.
Australia as well.
Kyrgyzstan, yeah. Uzbekistan, Colombia, Austria. Remember we talked about Austria in Vienna specifically, where, you know, one of the spy capitals of the world, where it was being reported. And it totally makes sense, Jack, what you're saying, when it's not these countries all, you can't think of all of these incidents as this is happening in all of these different countries. It's happening in the same organization, essentially, mostly.
Isn't the government referring to these things as anomalous health incidents? So they don't even assign some sort of continuity to these symptoms.
Right. I think the Biden administration came out and called them that, and then that really angered a lot of people, and there's been some back and forth on whether that's an accurate way to describe it, because, you know, that makes it sound, or at least shades in the direction of them feeling like someone's saying that what they're experiencing is not real.
Gaslighty. Yeah.
A little bit. And I mean, like, when you look at the history of mass psychogenic, like, illnesses and, like, you know, they are, you know, people getting like throwing up, and then like suddenly hundreds of people are like throwing up, or, you know, because of like some bug that I think there was like a factory where like a June bug was like supposedly biting people and everybody was throwing up. And it's like to them, like they weren't making themselves throw up. Like they got very sick all of a sudden. Everyone, like when that's happening to you, that feels absolutely real. It's not a testament to how like full of it these people are. It's a testament to how real a psychogenic functional disorder feels to a human being, you know, in the grips of it.
Yeah. Well said, you know, and there are other examples of things like this throughout history, right? Laughing epidemics, for instance, the screaming kids in Malaysia. That's another episode that I think clearly checks the boxes for a psychogenic phenomenon.
Or like Chuck McGill's condition on Better Call Saul, like the whole I'm allergic to, you know, electromagnetic
EMS sensitivity, or electromagnetic sensitivity. Gosh, saying EMS sensitivity is like saying ATM machine or VIN number. That's my bad, everyone. Our credibility is gone.
We can claw it back from the abyss.
I'm leaving this show. I can't believe you just said that. I'm out. No.
So what we see here, if a conspiracy exists, if we think in terms of objective plausibility, it is less plausible that there is a secret sci-fi level weapon that has only been used in these instances than it is plausible that there are there is a psychogenic phenomenon at play. And when we realize that, when we have this benefit of retrospect, the important thing to know is something that you have said from maybe not day one, Jack, but from like, let's call it figurative day seven about this. People aren't trying to get over. They're not trying to fool anyone. They're in pain. They're concerned. They want to feel well. And the conspiracy I think that is plausible is that opportunistic political forces saw this as an avenue for funding.
no question. Have there been any intimations toward a class action lawsuit type situation with that many folks feeling connected?
Not. I mean, intimations, I appreciate that word. Not super really, because because working for a government is not at that level is not quite the same as, like, you know, working for iHeart or something.
I did see an interesting thing that a CIA task force found, where they said that a lot of these cases could be attributed to, it was described as random and completely pedestrian factors, things like being close to faulty wiring, or even exposure to, like, you know, bug zapper type things like ultrasonic pest repellents that are designed to, like, you know, get rid of possums and rodents.
Dang, that's how they're getting rid of possums and rodents in other countries? That's
they don't
more
play.
Extreme than what I've got going on.
Well, no, I mean, it could have happened here. It could have happened while they were home, you know, like,
right.
The actual thing that led to the symptoms may not have had anything to do with their travels abroad.
Totally. And I do think that is also one of those explanations you need, because people think it's either something physically happened to you or you're making it up. Right. And so we need to say, oh, there must be like a bug zapper that is too close to your head when you sleep at night, and therefore, like, that's what's causing this.
We also don't know, though. I mean, there are things that cell phones cause that we have yet to fully wrap our heads around, you know? I mean,
totally.
Yeah. This podcast is brought to you by Orkin. are you tired of your loved ones not having headaches and Havana syndrome? Orkin. Okay, we'll see how that one plays out.
Are you afraid of accidentally having a child? Put your phone in your pocket and keep it there, just like you have been. You'll be fine.
Pocket phones, yes. The 2022 vasectomy, they're calling it.
Killing your boys since 1999. You know?
Yeah, these are ad ideas that we're just giving them to you guys. But I think this is such a... this is a compassionate and objective understanding of what people mean when they say they are having Havana syndrome. Also, another thing that argues against it being a directed energy weapon of some sort is that there has not been any sort of experiment to replicate the effect somehow. There has not been a successful experiment to do so. Therefore, there's not a comparable metric. And so now, of course,
there's no agreement.
Yeah, well,
there's also the recording they got of the sound that they heard in Havana that was determined to be crickets, I believe.
People
spread that around a lot, and that is, like, very embarrassing for the people who were making the claim. And that's another piece of evidence where I was like, oh wow, this definitely is not, you know, I've been in foreign countries where, like, the birds sound different, and I'm like, what is that? That is so strange. And then, yeah, it just turns out it's a bird that I've never heard.
But isn't this
before.
One of these things where it was, for a time, kind of taken on as, like, pet kind of talking points for a lot of high level government officials and, like, politicians, and now they're kind of walking it back a little bit?
Yeah, again, that's part of it. If we are to put on our cynic hats, then we could say part of the cause for that step back is that maybe it's like NFTs, you know, maybe the grift has run its course.
Right.
Maybe we got the funding already. And so now it's on to the next impossible expensive problem.
Well, also Obama had opened up Cuba. That was very promising and, like, considered a big accomplishment. And so it tied in with Trump's plan to undo everything that Obama had done to make relations worse with Cuba. So, like, that also felt very convenient for that administration's priorities at the time.
Such a narrow window. My kid and her mom went to Cuba for that little brief moment when it was there, when it was open. And then it was like, nope, just kidding.
Guys,
we're cool. Not anymore. Guys, psych.
You guys are thinking about this way too small. Look, this is not some political thing. Okay.
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 Look, all right. We got two major things that happened around this time. First of all, people, especially spies, across the world are coming down with this weird, mysterious illness. The other thing, UFOs are real, according to the Navy. Come on. Tell me there's some kind of tip-touching going on there. Come on.
The tip-touching?
UFOs, most things in the sky in human experience are UFOs in that they are unidentified. Like, you know what? You know what, Matt? The next Dave and Buster's trip is on me. If you nailed it, if you solved it.
The last one was on you.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Ah, jeez.
That's cool.
This is a Dave and Buster's problem.
This is my other story that when I start talking about it, everyone's like, oh boy, here he goes again. Because I'm just like, how do we talk about anything else? There's UFOs. But it does fit some of the things. Like it does seem like at least the military being on board with the spreading of those videos could be them preparing to use that as a reason to start really investing in weapons that can keep up with the
Space Force.
Whatever this thing is, man.
Yeah.
You mentioned if you identify it as a psychogenic syndrome, then perhaps it could be treated. Is this something that would require psychotherapy? Is there a medical route? What is the treatment when it is recognized for what it is?
Yeah, it was really interesting. They talked about this case of this young man who had like slipped disc things and then had some experience, and it started devolving and devolving to the point where he couldn't walk after 2 years. And he was having these arguments where people would say, we think it's conversion disorder. We think it's, they would use the term psychogenic. And he fought them and he dug in and he was like, I'm not making this up. You guys don't understand. I'm experiencing this. And then this expert who's like the foremost expert on functional disorders, he saw a YouTube video from them. His mom sent it to him and he had the open-mindedness to watch it, went to their clinic and so it sounds like it's a variety of things, but it's not really like psychotherapy, because that was one of the things that he was trying during the 2 years when it was getting worse. It's a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy. It's like trying to move his leg while like under hypnosis or while like meditating and while doing these feedback things. And it was a week of hard work, but he walked out of the clinic because they treat it as a neurological disorder. Your conscious mind doesn't have access to it. Your conscious mind is like a spotlight that is pointed at, you know, one small portion of this vast universe that is the totality of your mind and who you are as a being. And so focusing on the neurology and doing exercises and taking it out of the realm of this is something we just need to convince you to stop doing, and more in the realm of this is something that is happening to you because of neurological things we don't fully understand, but here's how we get to it. Like that helped him. So yeah, and they actually reached out to this person who's the foremost expert on functional disorders, and he was prevented from participating in the study into Havana syndrome because I think of the dug-in nature.
It's not useful for their purposes. Yeah.
Right.
What we're seeing then, I would argue, are some feedback loops, not all of which are cynical, not all of which are profit-driven, but we're seeing that people add force to their stories because civilization is sort of a story everybody tells each other, right? And life is all about relationships. But now that we have you, Jack, again, one of the busiest guys in podcasting, I suggest we quiz you a little bit, or get your opinion on other things considered conspiracy theories. I believe that we have. I think we, without conclusively proving the case, we have laid out some really strong arguments for the psychogenic perspective of Havana syndrome. But let's start here. Maybe we joked about decision tree and you, sorry. maybe we play true false. How about that? And maybe Matt, Noel, and I can ask you some true false questions. Up to you.
I feel like I'm about to get podcast jumped. Like you guys are going to like.
So Here we go, Jack. And I promise this is not this is not gotcha. Yeah. Podcasting. This is not podcast jumping. We also can confirm that we haven't discussed these things off air. So what we're getting here are organic reactions off the cuff, I hope. First things first, do you believe the true falsing, the official story about the JFK assassination?
False. I don't think it's full of correct. No, that it was just Oswald.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was just Oswald, no.
Just doesn't make sense logistically.
It doesn't,
I'm honestly a little surprised, Jack. Honestly, just because I
know.
That's cool. That's actually really cool.
So the thing I believe is also like kind of boring. It's the Secret Service agent in the trailing car accidentally shooting him, which...
I've never heard that one. Holy crap. That's...
Yeah.
It's super plausible.
It's interesting. This guy who was used by CBS News to test the possibility of Oswald getting off that many shots. And this guy is a gun expert. He owns his own gun shop. He does the demonstration and is able to like hit the target moving in a car on CBS News. Like, this is right after the assassination, because right away conspiracy theories pop up. That guy like gets it in his head. He's like, but there's something about the whole thing. Like, as he's doing this demonstration, and he's like, there's something about it that doesn't make sense. And so he just like really digs into the ballistics, and he's like, that third bullet doesn't act the way that the like Full Metal Jacket
that's
bullet coming from
bullet.
Oswald.
That's the one. Yeah.
It doesn't act the
like
way
the old
that,
Chappelle joke.
Right. Like the shot that, you know, blew off the side of his head, to put it bluntly, acted more like a assault rifle bullet that, you know, dissolves upon impact. And he realized that's what the Secret Service agents behind him were carrying. And he had also like traced it back to where he was like, it wasn't coming from where Oswald was. It was actually coming from directly behind him, if you just look at the physics of it. And so he found a picture, and there's a Secret Service agent holding the exact gun that he said it looked like they would have been firing. And, you know, this guy Bonner Menninger has this book called Mortal Error, and their theory is that it's not really a theory. The guys were out drinking all night the night before, very hungover. When the first shot is fired, the cars stop because they're like, what's happening? And that causes the rear car to slow down. He falls over and lets the shot off. And you would expect that to be a thing that like everybody would have seen that, but that first of all, people, eyewitnesses did
tensions
report.
Were divided.
Yeah. And eyewitnesses did report smelling gun smoke at street level, which shouldn't have been happening if
right.
It was Oswald.
Dude.
And,
yes.
Yeah. And seeing gun smoke, and also like it was the middle of day. So it's not like you would have seen like a tracer or, you know, the flash of the muzzle necessarily. But so that, I think there was a cover up because of that. This guy Bonner Menninger has a whole book about it. That's really interesting that people should check out. But also that's Bill James, the Moneyball guy. You know, he had that book Popular Crime, or I think that's what he called it. But he read every one of the books on the JFK assassination theory. And he's like, this is the only one that makes sense. Like of all the stories that people put together.
Yeah, a lot of the other stuff demands a pretty impressive level of subterfuge and cooperation, which, while not impossible, is increasingly less plausible. I love that you bring up the Secret Service aspect, because as we found on this show, man, honestly, a lot of the real conspiracies are someone messing up in a position of power and then attempting to look like they did not mess up.
Right.
Yeah. That's like the cover up is let us continue to appear competent.
There's also really interesting stuff. I believed that for a long time. And then there's some really interesting stuff about George H.W. Bush, who didn't really have a connection with the CIA before they made him the head of the CIA. And the only real connection you can find on paper is that on the day of JFK's assassination, he's in Dallas, but they like changed the records so that it didn't seem like he was in Dallas. And then there's like a call to CIA headquarters and it's like George Bush. George Bush is in Dallas. And
he's so, also like Mr. Dallas. I mean, that's
yeah,
like Texas.
That's true.
Man, you know? it's
oh, you guys know his street name? Tight.
Well, you know, that Mr. Was just, Dallas. That family was Texas bound, so, Texas roots.
That made me very suspicious of the CIA, but I still think it's probably more likely what you're talking about, which is people messing up and trying to cover it up.
I remember that old movie Bush Does Dallas. So guys, I've got one more question for you, Jack. I've got one, if that's okay, really quickly, guys. I know we're running up on time.
We solved Havana syndrome. We solved the JFK assassination. So like, let's get to the next one.
Well, this is my Havana syndrome topic that you're mentioning, where I bring it up way too often, Jack. Do you think it is possible that we are living in a simulation?
Yes, I think it's possible.
How possible, Jack?
Go on.
I have no evidence that we're not.
Jack O'Brien here is two for two.
And when I've gotten too high in the past, I don't do any of that anymore. But when I gotten too high in the past, I was absolutely convinced that we were living in a simulation.
Oh man! that is so mind synced right there. Exactly the same.
It also depends on your definition of a simulation. I mean, yeah. We are in an environment that was created, you know, without our involvement or knowledge, and everything we do is just to kind of like deteriorate it. So like, is life just by its very definition not a simulation? Like, you know, a lot of philosophers talk about the theory of the cave, the idea that we're just looking at like projections on a wall. You know, I just think it's a very
interesting and it's
but bro, like, what's our definition of us, man?
Sorry.
As much as I the thing that made me the most uninterested in that, because I do think like there's really interesting conversations about the simulation stuff, but then now I feel like everybody heard about it through Elon Musk, and I'm like, you ruined it for me. because didn't he say that on like somewhere?
No, man, we were talking about holographic universe theory in, what was that, Ben, like 2011?
Oh yeah, there's no other way to make something uncool than for Elon Musk to tweet.
I know
about
that like, that bummed me out so much. I was like, I love this theory though. Is yours based on the idea that like mathematically, like, you know, simulations are going to be getting more and more realistic, and there will be more and more people making more and more simulations and more opportunities to create them. So what, it's actually more likely that it's a simulation than actual physical like reality.
I don't know. All I know is that that feels correct to me more so than some of the other probably actual explanations of what we are right now, like what all this experience is that we're all sharing.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm not high. And I haven't been high in a long time.
Yeah.
Reality is a psychogenic illness. Oh, man. Here we go.
There you go. Solve this one. We're done. Dunzo. Yeah. You just nailed it.
That's like a Soundgarden lyric.
It surely is, actually. And if they play the guitar in a weird enough time signature, no one's going to question it. Once again, go to genius.com if you want to learn the truth right behind all of your favorite song lyrics. I think we have, you know, we're getting to the end. I think we have time for just one more true-false conspiracy from Jack O'Brien. Matt Frederick did one. I did one. Null, the honor goes to you.
Well, I didn't really prepare for this. Holy cow.
Just pick your favorite, man. We've done so
my
many.
My favorite. Okay, true-false. There are species of sentient life that have not yet been discovered.
Species of sentient life that have not yet been discovered. So that is, that could be extraterrestrial.
Either cryptids,
or,
you know, whether right, they be Bigfoots or aliens. You know,
I definitely have
an
anti-cryptid bias. Like I'm not,
I
I'm
do
not
too.
Your guy
I think we would have found them. We would have found bones. Yeah. We would have found something. on this planet. So yeah, let's throw that part out. Let's just go with the, you know, however many trillions of other planets there are, you know, that we can't possibly reach. Is it a little self-serving to believe that we are the only one, the only forms of life, you know? And I have nothing to back this up with, but I do, from a philosophical and spiritual kind of standpoint, think there has to be. But that's just me.
Okay. Ben, it's time for a cryptid rap battle. It's time for a cryptid rap battle. You and me versus Jack and Noel right now. Geez. Let's go. Pro-cryptid versus anti-cryptid. Let's do this.
Someone on Twitter was asking us if we're going to do AKAs. But all right, so now we're at like Fermi paradox. So Noel, your original question was, is there other undiscovered sentient or intelligent life somewhere? Or there was stated in the affirmative.
True or false?
So you can say true or false.
I think true there is. I don't know that they visited us. I do have a theory that involves military industrial complex that like they have visited us, and the fact that they're not declaring war on us is the reason it's being kept away from us as a conspiracy, because the military wants us to think that, well, yeah, sure, every advanced species is going to immediately attack you. That's why we need to like build up all this arsenal. And so like there's a really interesting, one of the like more credible alien sightings was at a school, and like the military came in and like shut it down. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that. I was like, what does the military have tied up in this? Wouldn't they just be like, tell us the truth, like tell us what you know? But instead they just shut it down.
Yeah.
It's control, but I wonder like what they're so afraid of, why they're so afraid of that message getting out. And I think it's that it invalidates their whole kill or be kill worldview. If there are aliens who are just coming down and like basically engaging in tourism and they're just like they're advanced enough to destroy us, but they're just like, hey man, we're just like we think the ocean's cool, so
God forbid they're benevolent and then we all of a sudden don't need the government's protection anymore. You know what I mean?
Like, well, that is I think if there is a conspiracy to cover up aliens, I think that is the thing that they're covering up, is that they're benevolent. And like there was also a lot of alien sighting activity around nuclear weapons. And I think it was just them being like, we don't want you guys to shoot your eye out.
Don't do that. You guys don't deserve this. You guys, you're not qualified.
Because I watched my theory is
benevolent.
The secret is that UFOs the secret is that extraterrestrial or interdimensional entities exist, but they're just uncharacteristically chill. They're inconveniently chill.
Inconveniently for the military chill, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. No, I accept that. It's a reality in which I would aspire to live and exist. Matt, you were referencing Prometheus earlier.
Oh, no, I just watched Prometheus again, and every time I see that movie, like, it's not my favorite in the Alien franchise.
It has some cool ideas. It has some cool things.
Well, Prometheus was flawed. Like, think about the title.
Yes, but that opening sequence where it's an extraterrestrial intelligent species that I believe that's on Earth and not on that planet that they end up on.
They're like gods. But they're basically like gods.
Seed the planets, like the panspermia thing, right? They seed the planet and then all life evolves out of that. That one, whatever your cup that, I don't know. That always just makes my mind real when I think about evolution, and could evolution have been a process that was just kickstarted, right? Instead of just something that naturally occurs. I don't know. My mind just goes everywhere. I think about that.
I think about that stuff too.
I think this is a beautiful moment for us to call it a day for now. Jack, you have gone 3 for 3 on true false.
Amazing.
And, also the three of us didn't work on this. We didn't conspire in secret to find good questions.
You did happen to hit all like three things I love talking about on the show, as any Daily Zeitgeist listener will tell you. So I don't think any listener is going to believe we weren't stoned for the last half hour of this conversation, but I promise we were not
stoned on separate locations. Bro.
That's right, man.
Hey, if you don't listen to the Daily Zeitgeist, seriously do that. Like, at least check it out. Give it a try. It's worth your time.
It is, and we might be making Jack uncomfortable by saying that in front of you.
I don't give a shit.
So the beer's hitting Matt. I think that's our time. So maybe we will have that cryptid rap battle, or let's make it a cipher, and not quite as hostile in the future, right? We don't need to take all our cues from the military industrial complex. But in the meantime, Jack, where can people learn more about you, your work, and your other shows? Jack doesn't just do Daily Zeitgeist. You also have Mad Boosties.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien and no other social medias. And then, twice a day at the Daily Zeitgeist. And we also have the dumbest NBA podcast in America, I think, is what I can't imagine a dumber one. And it's Miles and I just talking about the NBA. And
somehow you sold the actual NBA on this. Just to put
The NBA partnered with us. Yeah. So it's the third thing we record that day. And we're just punchy at that point. We're just like, I don't know, man. But we love the NBA. But the only thing I root against is like the NBA media and all like the hot take sphere. Like I just love the players and the beauty of the game. So it's really just an NBA appreciation podcast. And it is in partnership with the NBA.
So that was a pretty cool conversation. I got to ask you guys, you know how when you spend a lot of time thinking about something, it kind of gives you a craving? Like we might record an episode about food conspiracies, and then at the end we're thinking, oh, I'm hungry. Do you guys feel like we have Havana syndrome?
I thought you were gonna say you wanted a Cuban sandwich or something.
I am always down. I'm always down for a Cuban sandwich.
Guys, I've been thinking about this specific dish from this Korean restaurant down the street. And I have to go now. Thank you, Ben. You've convinced me.
Get on to it, man. You deserve it. Treat yourself.
Yeah. You know.
I shall.
Wait, what dish is it?
You know what it is.
Is it bulgogi?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm simple like that, okay?
You got to go. You got to go. It's amazing. And we're very lucky to we're very lucky to have all these cool restaurants here, but we're also very lucky to have all these cool colleagues. Each show is kind of like its own restaurant. Boy, I am just trying my best with this analogy and segue, but whatever. Point is, we hope you enjoyed that conversation. It went into a lot of places that you might not expect, and we continue the conversation a little bit off air, but as Jack said, you can check him out along with his ride or die, Mr. Miles Gray, on the Daily Zeitgeist. In the meantime,
we need to get Miles on here too.
We do. I tried. There's some stuff he could speak on from experience that he's still really on the fence about mentioning, but we'll see. We'll see. In the meantime, we want to hear from you folks. That's right. Specifically you. Have you experienced something similar to Havana syndrome? Do you know anybody who has symptoms similar to that? If so, were there any physical causes found? Do you think this is all real? Do you think there is something more to this story? We want to know, and we try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us all over the online at Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram.
Yes, never forget the YouTube channel. It is there. It's waiting for you. You can watch us in a very creepy, creepy way say these things. Not these things, because these usually get edited out of the videos, but you can watch our faces while words come out of them.
And if YouTube might be a lot, too fast, too furious for you, and social medias are not your sippage of choice, then why not give us a phone call? We are, say it with me, 1-833-STD-WYTK. Call, you'll hear a voice, you'll hear a ding, like so, bing, or whatever, beep. It's probably more of a beep. And that's your signal. You're off to the races. You got 3 minutes. Those 3 minutes are your own. Tell us what's on your mind. Give yourself a cool nickname, moniker, AKA, as they like to do on TDZ. Second most important thing, let us know if we can use your name and or message on air. First most important thing, don't edit yourself. One call is usually all you need to reply. If you need more than that, then we have a way for you to cheat time. You won't be bound by 3 minutes. Tell us the story, the entirety of it. Give us ancillary links. Send us videos. We love all of it. We read every single email we get. All you have to do is drop us an old-fashioned line where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.